Hallelujah. Let's pray for the word. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Breathe upon the word. Breathe upon everything that you have already purposed, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that this word is released to your people. God, we pray that let those who have ears hear. You said, let whosoever, those that have ears to hear, to understand. And we pray that, Holy Spirit, that you yourself will do all the conviction. You will do all the inspiration. You will ignite the fire of your word inside our spirit. We give you praise and we give you honor. Watch over your word to fulfill it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, my message today is, it's two parts, but I don't know if I can get through it this morning, but I know by God's grace that it will sit in your hearts this morning. You've heard me talk about mindset change and shifting our mindset to accommodate what's happening in the season that we live in this day today. I pray that we are not Christians that are living blindly, living life casually with our Christian life, but understanding the seasons that we're in, understanding the times that we're in, looking at what's happening around us, and pray. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Pray. A praying Christian is a firebrand Christian. You pray, your life will be good. Hallelujah. If you're not a person that doesn't pray, then you need to start praying. Praying is very important for us. Hallelujah. It's a communication like no other to our Father God. Before I release the word of God to you this morning, I sense in my spirit and from my own observation that what God is continuing to shift the church in a different way. I don't know about, I said to my team here that I don't gauge the spiritual growth of a church or the spiritual things that God does in any other church or in anything that happens here. I have to gauge it with what God is doing with those that are bringing themselves to walk in the place where God wants them to walk. Amen. Amen? I talk about walking blameless before God alone. I talk about bringing righteousness back into the church alone. Something that we don't preach about anymore. We don't deal with sin anymore. We're too scared and too frightened to talk about sin. Why? Because we're frightened to lose people. Well, I'm not here, and I've said it before, that I'm not here to build a kingdom of men. That is not my agenda and my mandate. My mandate is to speak for God. Hallelujah. And that's why I said, let those who have ears hear and understand what God is saying. Hallelujah. It is a time that we must put watchmen on our tower. Start to get your armor bearers to carry your armor for you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Start to look at things that we are actually shifting the church into war. Amen. The church has been at war since the beginning of time, since Jesus said, I will build my church and no gates of hell shall prevail. And that started a war against the principalities and powers of the high places. And the church, I must say, and I'm sad to say, that we have cornered ourselves into a corner, build a fortified wall around ourselves and gone to sleep in our comfort zones. Hallelujah. Let that be a message this morning to challenge you. I am not here and we are not here to play church. Time for playing church is over. Time for talking about petty church stuff is over. It's time to shift our mindset into the prophetic realm of God and finding out what is the door that we need to open. Because one door will set open every other door. Hallelujah. Prepare your armor bearers, put on the armor of God, because the church is shifting into war. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to start by saying this, a word of caution. Do not be afraid of the enemy. You know, persecution will come. We sit comfortably in our houses, in our comfortable churches, and forget that persecution will come. Hallelujah. And it's already starting. That's why we must rise up. Amen. The church of Jesus Christ must rise up. Christians who call themselves the follower of Christ must rise up. Hallelujah. Last week at the University of Technology, when I went there for the ministry, I saw something that God did that started to look and form like there's going to be a move. Hallelujah. I have not seen anything like this for 25 years. And as I was sitting there, God spoke clearly to me. And I said to you, and if you come to our leadership meetings, I don't share my vision to people that don't stand with me. I only share with people I know that will stand with me. Amen. And some of the things that God shares to you, and I want to encourage you, is not for everybody. Do not, out of discretion, you must always use something that God shows you that it is for you alone and not for everybody else. Something that God shows us must be kept for ourselves. Amen. It's not for everybody to know. You are in a warfare, my friends. Amen. You got to be a CIA, KGB of God. Understanding that some of the visions you don't show anybody. Jesus said, do not throw your pearls to the pigs. Why? Because they'll trample and they turn around and pull you down. Share your vision with people that will stand with you and say, yes, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, sister. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's get this done. Hallelujah. When you stand around people like that, you know you're on the right path. You know that God's brought you to the right place. Hallelujah. I saw something that really changed my mentality and my mindset and totally cemented my position and my walk in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You may sit here today and say, I'm really insignificant in God. I don't know any. Listen to me. God's got a plan and a purpose for you. And one of your prayers is going to be this. God, show me. Show me. Because God takes you through the good and the bad at the same time to teach you and to train you. Last week I said, stop blaming the devil for everything. You give him glory every time you say, oh, the devil did this and the devil did that. The devil did nothing, my friends. Sometimes God takes you through some situation where you should stop and say, God, you're training me right now. Show me what you're telling me. Show me what you're saying. Hallelujah. It gave me great confidence, and as I saw God unleashing something powerful that made Beth a move, hallelujah, I sensed that in my spirit because it had a blueprint written all over it. I came from a place of revival. I was a Catholic boy when I came out to meet God. I had my Damascus experience with God coming out of a Catholic church. They hid the scripture from me, kept the truth from me until somebody preached a message that totally transformed me. I said, where have I been? How come I haven't heard this before? Hallelujah. And I saw a blueprint of something that God was about to do. Now I see why God established me here. I fought this position to be a pastor of this church with all my heart and with all my soul. I didn't want this job. When I sat there in that auditorium and I saw 1,500 children gave their hearts to Jesus, and I said, God, and I had the Holy Spirit says, now you know why I called you to be a pastor of this church. I don't see our church as just another church. Listen to me, my friends. Don't think that we are just going to come and sit down and enjoy a nice sermon. No, we need to get up. We need to understand what God is doing in these times and season that we're living in. Hallelujah. What God showed us was this. In the innocence to respond to a need of a new generation in Papua New Guinea, we did something, or God did something that we saw happen. Number one, he unlocked one accurate door. One, just one door. One door was open, and we knew that as soon as there's one door open, every other door will be open. You just need to find the right door. Hallelujah. And when the door opens, praise the Lord, everything is going to come after that one door. Number two, a birth of a move. As we stay consistent, committed, and faithful to what God is doing. When you find a blueprint of something, you stay with it. Because a blueprint doesn't lie. There's a blueprint right here. Everything that God does in this book has a pattern to it. The pattern doesn't change, but the church has changed everything. We've changed Pentecost into Pentecostism. We made man-made Pentecost. We made it become a man-made religion. It is not your work or your purpose to change anything that God does. His pattern doesn't change. His blueprint doesn't change. His formula doesn't change. It's still the same. All we need to do is abide by the formula. When I saw that, I said, God, you're doing something again. I got excited. And I came back and I shared with my music team and shared with the leaders and the pastors in the church about what God was showing me. I got excited. I got excited about what God was doing. I'm sure you're all aware of the prophetic word over this nation called Australia. Everybody likes to sing that song and prophesy that song and proclaim that song. This is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Well, listen to me, my friends. That doesn't happen with a sleeping church. The great Southland of the Holy Spirit does not happen with sleeping Christians, slumbering church, program, conference church that is full of feeding Christians and feeding people, overfed Christians that are over fully fed and falling asleep. The great Southland of the Holy Spirit is a song and a prophecy, but it doesn't come until men and women of God see the season, understand the times we're living in, and rise up. Amen. Move. Get up and do something about it. Praying about it is good, but nobody gets up and does something, then the season passes us away. The door of opportunity comes and goes. But when we see the door of opportunity, we need to grab all of that and run. When I saw something, I thought, God, it just takes men and women to understand that. I never used to understand that until I started to work with men, fathers who have gone before me, who understand the seasons and taught me how to understand the move of God and what comes with the move of God. Hallelujah. Let me just remind you, the great Southland of the Holy Spirit doesn't happen with a slumbering church. If you sing this song and quote this prophecy and believe it, then you better be prepared to get up and do something about it. Amen. Hallelujah. We are living in an illiterate, Bible illiterate generation. The kids we are raising up are getting transformed by YouTube, WhatsApp, and TikTok, and all this stock tick and everything else. And there's no Bible inside the house anymore. And we blame God for everything that happens to us. Hallelujah. The country doesn't even acknowledge, and I'm going to say this, our national anthem doesn't even acknowledge God. How dare we claim to be the great Southland of the Holy Spirit and we don't have anything to acknowledge God. Hallelujah. And where is the church to speak about those things? Hallelujah. I'm from PNG, my friends. I'm seeing things happening here, and I'm just saying it as I'm seeing it. Hallelujah. We can pray about it, sing about it, but it needs men and women of faith who do not only believe it, but understand the season and times we're in, and what? Move. Hallelujah. John the Baptist was such a man. Oh, I love John the Baptist. Every prophet proclaimed the coming of the Messiah. John saw it and fulfilled it and stood there and saw it all happen. Hallelujah. He was the greatest prophet of all times. Isaiah prophesied about John. Yes, it is depressing to come out of something that God is doing, coming back, listening to Christians, talking about petty politics, petty church programs, petty this and that and their own. I'm tired of that. When you come out of a fire of God and sit down and listen to Christians talk like that, you go, what is wrong with you people? Go into your closet. Go into your war room and see what God is doing. Hallelujah. I'm just sharing my heart at the moment. I don't even preach my message yet. Amen. Stop trying hard to create your own parts. Rather use God's accurate door and God's blueprint to open doors that are meant for the church. Hallelujah. My first scripture in this encouragement is Exodus chapter 17, verse 9 to 13. I love this scripture. I studied that scripture and I thought, God, there's a blueprint. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, and Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, he said, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Hallelujah. That talks about prayer. He sends Joshua to do the physical work. He goes up to the mountain. And so it was when Moses held up his hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. He took Aaron and Hur with him up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Whoo, hallelujah. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. When Moses raised his hand in battle against the Amalekites. That's a demon spirit. That word right there, that name. The Israelites prevailed, but he lowered them, they suffered defeat. Eventually, Moses grew weary, and he needed Aaron and Hur to help him hold up his arm steady and share victory. You know, the word for steady in Hebrew is a word called imuna. That's your daughter's name right there. God told me that. Imuna, powerful name. It was Moses' steady faith in God's power that gave Israel the victory over the powers of darkness. Just as we lift our faith in God's power, demonstrate the cross gives us the victory over Satan and his schemes. This is a word for the church. As I was reading the scripture, the Holy Spirit prompted me to study Amalek. Listen to this. Amalek was the first enemy that attacked Israel when they came out into freedom. First enemy that attacked Israel. The Hebrew definition of Amalek is spiritual blindness. The name in Hebrew is spiritual blindness. Doubt, unbelief, haughty. Do you know what the word haughty means? Disdainfully proud, snobbish, scornfully arrogant, and even doubting God's word. That's a spirit. So every time somebody comes into God, gives his heart to God, this is the spirit that Satan unleashes against you to create unbelief. That's where people backslide. People lose hope. People just give up in God, throw in the towel and just go. And that spirit attacks those who lags behind. Hallelujah. When God showed me there's a man, I'm telling you, this spiritual battle stuff is good. Therefore, Amalek represents the lack of fear of God, which is not just out in the world causing people to do evil, but it is slowly creeping into the church. My friends, that spirit is inside a church. It is inside the church. And that's something that you and I need to look at, deal with it, with the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the spirit that always attacks the vulnerable ones lagging behind. Hallelujah. As soon as a person is born again, that spirit is on him or her. You got to understand the spiritual battle that we're in right now. That is why Paul says people need to what? Grow up fast in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13 to 15 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. Verse 14 says that we should no longer be what? Children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man in cunning craftiness of deceitful what? Plotting. We are living in a world of people like that, pulling and tossing people around, and people are flowing with everything without coming to the Word of God and checking what the Word of God says. I always say, check the fruits before you start following people. Hallelujah. Push yourself to be in church surrounded by people who are on fire for God. I'm talking to somebody today. Attend prayer meetings, attend our integrity sessions, because the Word of God is being taught to the people. And when the Word of God sits inside of your spirit, none of this can happen to you. It happens. The spirit is attacking people that lags behind, the Bible says. And I'll tell you what God says about it. God actually reminded the people of Israel about it. So we have to stop making excuses. That excuses become your what? Idol. An excuse is an idol. Every time you make an excuse, boom, that's an idol. You put something before God. I'm talking about God getting you to do something for him, and there's an excuse. There's an excuse. Amen. It's an idol. Hallelujah. Amen. Stop lagging behind and end up becoming a victim of this spirit called Amalek. God reminded the Israelites about Amalek. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17 to 19. He says, remember what Amalek did to you on your way as you were what? Coming out of Egypt. Verse 18 says, oh, he met you on the way and attacked your what? Rear ranks. Amalek is a spirit that doesn't take you straight on. It takes you from behind. Attacks those that are not watching the back. Attacks those that are just lagging behind. Hallelujah. No wonder Paul says, grow up quick. Grow up fast in the Word of God so that God can give you all the gifts that he wants for you. Gifts don't go to babies. Gifts go to people who are mature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So that they don't misuse the gifts and confuse people. Hallelujah. He says, You were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. Verse 19, therefore it shall be when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, that you will what? Blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. You shall not forget. Amen. This is a spirit that's attacking churches at the moment. If you're a Christian that thinks Christian life is good, you what planet are you from? Christian life is not a smooth road. Walking with Christ Jesus is not a smooth road. That's the truth. I'm speaking truth today. Amen. It is not an easy road. That's why the Bible says when you come to a crossroad, stop and ask which part is the right part to follow. Amen. And the right part to follow is always the rough part. It's always the rugged part. It's always full of all these obstacles. It's not a smooth part. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, take my yoke. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, take my yoke because my yoke is lighter. Amen. Don't try to create your own doors. Open the doors that were meant for you by God. And then everything will go smoothly. We can't do anything on our own strength. Hallelujah. That is why I just wanted to stretch this point again about prayer. If we truly want to move forward with the vision and the mission, then we must address prayer in church. I spoke to the leaders today. Prayer is important for us. Every person that wants to see something happen in your life, prayer is important for you. If you want to move forward in your vision, prayer is important for you. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 24, verse 3-5, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Every time you hear God talk about hill or mountain, it talks about prayer. For who may stand in his holy place? He who has the clean heart and clean hands and pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Powerful words. When the Bible talks about that, it talks about prayer. I remember, I thought, God, why are you getting me preaching on principles? Because principles doesn't change. You can preach about any other message, but principles are always the same. Never change. Hallelujah. My message today is based on Acts chapter 2. Because that's really what God wants me to speak this morning. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged? You don't seem like you're encouraged. Yes. I don't know. Get excited for God. Hallelujah. Come on, you're in church. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verse 2, verse 1 to 16. Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Could you imagine that? There's a move of God happening, and people don't know what was happening. And verse 13 says, others, mocking, said, they are full of wine. Let me just repeat that statement again. Others, mocking, said, they are full of wine. And verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Strong words, he says. And heed my words. Listen to me. For these are not drunk as you've supposed, since it is only what? Third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. And he launched into Prophet Joel's prophecy with the power and fire. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, many were there, mocked them, saying they were drunk or drunk with new wine. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, bold with the fire of the Holy Spirit, raised his voice. You got to understand, Peter did not raise his voice in volume. He raised his voice to meet the voice that was coming against the move of God. What was happening? He raised his voice to connect with the prophetic words of Joel. Hallelujah. To jam that signal of the enemy that was coming against what God was doing. Do you understand what was happening? There was a spiritual battle happening at that day. But Peter, a set man, recognized what was happening. And when he raised his voice, it wasn't in volume. A lot of people think he shouted to people. He didn't. He raised his voice in spirit to meet what was coming against what God was doing. Listen to me, revival and things that happen in the church doesn't happen without opposition. Amen. There will always be opposition coming against you for everything. When you raise your voice, there'll be another voice against you. Yeah. Hallelujah. This country is too frightened of people speaking. It's only a voice that makes you feel scared to say something. You carry the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Amen. And you're scared of a voice? Hallelujah. Peter understood what was happening. So he raised his voice against the voice that was coming against what God was doing. Something was happening in the spirit. And already there were voices of opposition mocking what the spirit was doing. That's what they're doing to the church. And you and I are sitting down near quiet. Amen. Hallelujah. Is this a message for somebody today? The church can never be, there can never be a revival without being harassed with the voice of intimidation, fear, and condemnation. It's coming against the church. You're waiting for people to stone you? They're already stoning you with their words. That's the persecution that's coming. You're waiting for some kind of persecution that's going to happen? It's already happening. And you're sitting unquiet. Hallelujah. And you've got the power of God living inside of you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells inside of you bodily. That same spirit will give you life. And life abundantly. Hallelujah. The enemy has, as in the past, used his voice to stop the flow of the spirit. The words carry spirit. Therefore, release of the wrong words in the wrong frequencies disarm the church. We are disarmed by words. The church is disarmed by words, not by any other weapon, just words. Amen. That's what Jesus said, no weapon formed against you shall what? Prosper. And every what? Tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn you. Shall condemn. That's the word of God this morning, my friends. I'm not into some sort of nice word to please your ears and make you happy. I'm here to challenge you with the word of God so that you can rise up from where you are and become set men and set women of God. Understanding the time that you and I are living in and rise up. Hallelujah. The words are powerful. And we need to use the right words that benefit us. Goliath was a word. He was a voice. Goliath was the spirit that harassed the camp of Israel every day. Listen to him mocking the army of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8 to 11. Goliath went out and shouted to the army of Israel, "Why are you lining up for battle? I am the best soldier in our army, and all you are in Saul's army, choose your best soldier to come and fight me." Hallelujah. That's a challenge for the church. If he can kill me, our people will be what? Your slaves. But if I kill him, your people will be our slaves. And here and now, I challenge Israel's whole army. Choose someone to fight me. Saul and his men heard what Goliath was saying or said, and they were so frightened of Goliath that they couldn't do a thing. That's what the church is like in this country, my friends. Hallelujah. We couldn't do a thing. And it's just a word coming against you. You're sitting here. I don't want to say anything. Israel fell out, quoted a scripture from the word of God. Not his own word. The scripture of God. Quote it. And the whole world came against him. Hallelujah. I am talking to somebody today. Goliath threatened and intimidated the army of Israel. He used nothing, my friends. He used nothing. No weapons. He only used what? His words. He was calling out to these people, come and challenge me. I am the greatest warrior in this army. Come and challenge me. There's a Goliath challenging the church, and we're sitting here slumbering. There was no weapon. He was not throwing anything at them. He was standing there, hitting his chest and yelling out. And everybody's hiding from that man. Hallelujah. Listen to David's battle cry. He stood up and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistines that he should defy the armies of the living God? That's your battle cry, my friends. That is your battle cry, church. That is your battle cry, who you call yourself a Christian. That is your battle cry. You call yourself a man of God and woman of God. You call yourself born again, spirit filled. That is your battle cry. Who is this uncircumcised Philistines that dare to come against the army of God? That is your call. That is your battle cry, my friends. Come on, Australia. Come on, Cairns. Come on, Christians. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have God with you. How dare we sit down and let the voice of God or the enemy speak against you and you crumble because of a word? Hallelujah. Have this unrighteous anger inside of you. The holy anger inside of you. David had it. Nehemiah had it. All these guys had it. They said, how dare you? You're afraid of persecution? It's coming with the words. Come on, church. We need to rise up. This is not a church that's going to be playing church anymore. We're not here to play church. Men's programs and men's conferences, feeding Christians. I'm tired of feeding Christians with the word of God. Christians, raise up. Everybody sitting in this room, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. There's a power waiting to unleash itself out of you. Hallelujah. David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living God? Where are you drawing your word from? Because where we draw from is the thing that's going to hold us. Don't draw from people who are not, don't have faith. Don't draw from people who are always pulling you down. Draw from the word of God. David came from the house of bread, the bread of life. That was the defining factor of David's response to Goliath. He knew who he was in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. When you are somebody that knows who you came from, where you're going, and who you are in Christ, nobody can push you around. Hallelujah. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, my friends. It's against the principalities and powers of high places. Stand up. Therefore, do not crumble just from a voice. Peter saw something. When the voice came against him, he didn't raise his voice in volume. He raised it in the spirit and went against that voice and prophesied and quote Joel's scripture to pull everything down. Hallelujah. He quoted Joel's prophecy. What voices are you listening to? Fear and intimidation from the devil or the voice of the living God? Peter stepped out and raised his voice and got connected to a prophetic element. His voice became one with prophecy. Peter raised his voice and connected into the prophetic element that broke the sound barrier of human spirit confusion. He started to speak out Joel's prophecy and broke something in the spirit. Hallelujah. And released into the same human heart of those who were speaking a doctrine that set them free for life. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 verse 37, and now when they heard this, they were what? Cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Amen. That's the kind of answer you want. After you speak the word of God into the situation, they will say, we are cut. What can we do? That's a blueprint. What are we doing as a church? That is a blueprint. That's something that God's showing me. Enough of preaching nice messages to please people, too scared that people will leave church. You are not here to build your kingdom. You're here to build His kingdom. He said, I will build my church and no gates of hell. Man, that word is ringing inside my head. Shall prevail. The Bible says they were cut to heart, meaning the word was sharp and powerful. Key points from this scripture is this. We must accurately connect it to God's prophetic word. Number two, we must be able to step out and stand clear from everybody. Step out and stand clear from everybody. Remove yourself from all these other things that are happening around you. Sin and everything. Come, Jesus, come and walk blameless before me. Be holy, as like my Father in heaven who is holy.
Amen.
Walk in righteousness and holiness. Amen. Only then you can unleash powers like that in the Spirit. Unfortunately, only those who dare to are not many. Peter stepped out. There is a reposition of leadership that moves and gives direction to the company. I am prepared to make some mistakes. I am prepared to make some moves. And I said to my team, be prepared for people to leave church. Why? Only those who see what the church, what God is doing will stay. Only those who have the heart, who understands the times and seasons we live in, will stay. The word itself will clean people up. I am not here to clean anybody up. I can't do it. I got no power to clean you up or change you. That's God's business. His business, He started it, He will finish it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm just a saucepan like yourself. I'm just like another voice. I don't claim to be a prophet, no nothing. I like John the Baptist. When they say, are you a prophet? He says, no, none of the above. I'm just a voice calling out in the desert. I like John's humility. Even though he was a prophet, he never claimed anything. People get all so worked up. Ooh, I'm a prophet now. I can speak. And people, as soon as you hear that you're a prophet, ooh, pride comes in. I'm a prophet. Shut up. John never claimed any of that. And the Bible says he was the greatest prophet that ever lived. Be humble. God will lead you and guide you and raise you. I don't claim to be any of this. I'm just Ben Hakalitz, your pastor, and a voice. That's all. Saucepan like yourself. Prepare to be used by God. Hallelujah. Turn around and shake somebody's hands and go, wow, this is me. You all still there? You think that's getting rough? It's about to get rough. Hallelujah. They were cut in the heart immediately. They were repositioned for a correct response and begged the apostles of what they should do to become part of God's accurate men. That move of God. You know, when Jesus was starting to separate the goats from the sheep and the chaff from the wheat. Remember, he was talking about all his nice parables, about the parables of the 10 virgins and the parables of the gold coin. He was talking about parables. And then at the end, when he was about to be taken to be crucified, he changed and he shifted and he started talking like this. I am the bread of life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am the blood. Whoever drinks from me. And everybody said, wow, that is a hard teaching. Who can understand that? And the Bible says, and they left.
Amen.
And then he turned around to the 12 and he says, how about you? You're going to leave too? And they said something powerful. They said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen to me. God is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. God is going to separate the sheep from the goats. You're going to make up your mind where you're going to be. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
This is war we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is warfare we're talking about. This is not church politics and church programs and church this and church that. That's gone out the window. 2020 is what? A shift. 2020. God first. Hallelujah. That's our theme. The theme from 2020.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 2 verse 38. Then Peter said to them, what? Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, for the promise is in you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Verse 40, and with many other words he testified, exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. That's a word. Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word, what? Gladly received his word, were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. This sets a whole new tone, my friends, in the apostles' move. They were spirited men with a what? Paradigm shift. They've shifted their mindset. Their minds were so transformed that they could think like their master, Jesus Christ. They connected their mind to the mind of Christ. Paul says, be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind. Connect it to the mind of Christ. And think like Jesus. A lot of Christians walking around, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And still live in sin. Shut up and transform your mind. Hook it up with the mind of Christ. And let the fruits show. Bear some fruits. Hallelujah. And stop talking about Jesus and not following Jesus. This sets a whole new thing for our church. An average Christian would just be what? Saved. But those who want to take it on to the next level and move on, these are the ones that God is watching for. God is watching for these people. He's watching. When we step out and separate ourselves from the crowd, then God says, there. That's it. God separated everybody. Gideon, he says, no, I want, that's too many. Hallelujah, I like God. Too many. You want to see my hand? Move them. Move those faithless ones. Whoever is needs to go, go. But those who want to stay, stay. Hallelujah. The word perverse means showing a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable or unacceptable. That's what perverse is. Number two, contrary to the accepted or expected standard or practice. This means that change in the church, my friends, is critical for us. Though we have expected Christ, we accepted Christ into our lives, we are still in the old mindset. A lot of us are still in the old mindset. I'm not talking about the mindset of Egypt. I'm talking about mindset of church. You're programmed by a church. You got to be programmed by the Spirit. We're not preaching doctrines here. I'm not into preaching doctrines. I'm into preaching the kingdom of God message, the word of God. Hallelujah. This means that the change must come. It's like we have come out of Egypt, but our minds are still there. Hallelujah. Therefore, resulting in what? Murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining. Why are we going there? Why are we doing this? Why isn't this up there? Why isn't the chair straight? I don't like that color on the wall. This guy didn't dress up right. He's too black or too white, or he doesn't have hair, or he's got too much hair. That's what we are, my friends. Petty stuff. You know, when I come out from a move of God and I listen to all this, I'm going, oh, God, take me back. When are these people going to stop murmuring and complaining and talking about petty stuff that doesn't mean anything? Get over it and move on. Or as my wife would say, deal with it. We get it all the time. When you hear the word deal with it, everybody walking on eggshells. praise the Lord. For wives, eh? Hallelujah. You still with me? Are you excited? Hallelujah. You must understand that this all new level of ministry, everything has gone up a notch. This year, we're going up a notch. Amen? Everybody say amen. We're going up a notch. Hallelujah. After the crowd begged to join the company of the apostles, the challenge was on for who were hungry for real. The challenge is who's really hungry for this. Hallelujah. It didn't take too many people. 12 men. Hallelujah. The question still remains, how can I break this cycle of defeat and break into God's season? Stop fearing voices that comes against you. You got all the weapon You got all the armory. You got all the protection. The full armor of God is upon you. You got the word of God. Hallelujah. God says, I am watching over my word to fulfill it. That when you speak it and prophesy it, I will accomplish it. I will make it come to pass. Hallelujah. It takes men to come out and men and women to come and say, okay, we're going to do this. Stop talking about it, discussing it, having board meetings about it, and then praying about it. Get up and let's go. Okay, what's the next strategy for this church? Let's do this. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Get ready for mistakes. Hallelujah. As John the Baptist himself never claimed the office of the prophet. I love that. When I read this, I said, God, you're too good. All these little things that people read and go past. And I thought, he never said he was a prophet. Are you a prophet? No, I'm not. I'm just a voice in the desert. And he quoted Isaiah's scripture. Ooh, hallelujah. It wasn't his own word. He was quoting Isaiah's prophecy. Hallelujah. Listen, prayer conferences, Christian conferences, all good. But if it doesn't bring what God wants for the nation of Australia, forget it. Forget it. Hallelujah. That church has been sitting around waiting for the angel to come and stir the pool up so that they can do something. Hallelujah. The word of God, Jesus already said what? Rise up, take your bed and walk. Whether you're a cripple or you're just a slumbering Christian, take your bed, fold it up and walk. Amen. Don't wait for the angel to come stir the water up for you. Time for that is gone. Yeah. Hallelujah. Men and brethren, what must we do? That's the question that's ringing in our ears this morning. I want to encourage you today. I'm passionate about what God is showing me and what God is doing. God is lining me up with men and women who've seen the hand of God. You have seen the hand of God. There are people that are going to come and join us who have seen the hand of God. I'm not here to build anybody's kingdom. I said to people, plenty of church. Pick one and go to it. Plenty of it. Pick one. Pick a nice church. They're all over the place. I don't want that. Hey, listen, I've been a Christian for 25 years. I am not prepared for another 25 years to go around in the desert. I want to see God move. I want to connect with set men and women who understand the season and the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Oh, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, this is Shift 2020. God first. This is Shift 2020. God first. Hallelujah. The disciples said in Acts chapter 3, when they saw that crippled man, they said, silver and gold I have none, but such as we have. Where is the such in us? Is there a such in you that the crippled world needs, that the dying world needs? I should say church. The crippled church needs that such in the man and woman of God that will rise up. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's what I wanted to release to you today. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it takes 4 lepers and 12 men to change the world. What about us, eh? Good challenge for each and every one of us. Let it be a challenge, my message that will challenge you. Pray, God. You know what I've been praying? My prayer is this. God, give me wisdom to run this church. Give me wisdom to lead this church. That's all I'm praying for. Nothing else. Wisdom. Because I don't know nothing about church. I don't know nothing about being a pastor of a church. I'm just me, and I said, God, give me wisdom to run it. And God gave me good men and women around that are sitting here in this building today to help me run this church. You're all part and parcel of where God is taking us. Amen? I'm excited about it. If you're visiting us, excuse us. We get a bit crazy here sometimes. But we welcome you. I pray that God will have this message in your heart. Share this with people that are on fire for God. Cut yourself out from people that are always walking in negativeness and not encouraging people and talking about petty stuff. Cut yourself out. Change your friends. If you're not going anywhere, change your friends. Get new ones. Find yourself in church where people are talking positive faith talk. Hallelujah. If you're a growing Christian, just born again, watch out for the spirit of Amalek. It takes you from behind. It comes from the rear, attacks from the rear. Those who are staggering. So make sure you're in church. Make sure you're in prayer. Make sure you're part of everything that the church is doing. Grow in the spirit. Grow like Paul said. Grow up quickly. Grow up quickly so that God can give you the gifts that is purpose for you. No baby can play around with a gun. God wants to give you a gun, but you're still a baby. You must shoot somebody. Amen? Why did I say that? That's a good picture, right? I'll just finish you with this testimony and what God showed me. I prayed to God. I said, God, speak to me just in life. I mean, God speaks to us through the word when we pray and the things that he's downloading into our spirit. But I asked him, I said, speak to me with just the nature and the people. And I'm telling you, God was doing some things that amazes me. And one of them was this, because it really lifted my faith. Where's little Andrew? Is little Andrew here? I'm going to close with this. Andrew, come here, mate. There he is. This God spoke through me to this young man. I went to his house and I gave him $1. And Henry sees $1 and he calls it $3. Everything to Henry is $3. You give him 50 cents, 10 cents, to Henry, it's $3. Hallelujah. And I sat there and I thought, wow, that's so powerful. It's faith. You know, babies come recently from heaven. So their faith and their spirit is very pure. They just recently come from heaven. So they're not corrupted by all this rubbish that you and I are corrupted with. His faith is pure, straightforward, 10 cents. That's $3 for me. That can buy a truck. And then Jesus said, when he rebuked the disciples and said, bring those children to me. Why are you chasing them away? And then he said, if you cannot be like one of these, then you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And then straight after that, he fed the multitude with two fish. Is it two fish? And five bread. 5,000 people he fed. So he sent his disciples and he said, go and find food to feed these people. And they're looking at him going, are you crazy? How far are we from the nearest town? There's no shops. There's nothing. We got nothing here. What are you talking about? And then this young little boy, and God spoke to me through Andrew, he stood up with these two fish and five bread and he said, hey, we can share my lunch. This is a boy that has two fish and five bread. To him, that can feed 5,000 people. Amen. To him, that's him. He said, we can share my lunch. That's a little boy talking. And Jesus, I'm telling you, he took that bread, the food, and he lifted up. And when he gave thanks, he didn't give thanks to his faith or anybody's faith. He gave thanks to the little boy's faith. He said, God, you had this little boy. You had him say he could feed everybody. And he lifted up and gave thanks. And that lunch fed the 5,000. That's from a faith of a little boy. Hallelujah. When Andrew brought this $1 and says, that's $3, let's go buy a car. You better believe it. He wants you to buy a car. So you need to get up and go and buy a car. Hallelujah. I love it. Let's pray. Let's pray and close. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're speaking to us, God, in the things that you've already created, oh God. I pray this word that has been released, God, oh Lord, upon the hearts of your people today. I pray, Father, Holy Spirit, ignite that word inside our spirit. Lord, cause us to be uncomfortable in our comfort zones. Cause us to be hungry, Lord, and passion for the things that you want for us, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that we should not be a church that is slumbering like everybody else. Father, we are not claiming that everybody's sleeping. But I don't want this church, oh God, to be a slumbering church. I want this church to understand the realm of the spirit that we're living in, the times and the seasons that we're living in. And I pray that each and every person sitting here today, God, you ordain their steps to be here this morning to receive this word. I pray, Father, that that word will sit inside and bear fruit. Let the seeds grow inside, God. Holy Spirit, water that inside this spirit right now. And I pray, Father, for your blessing upon each and every man, women, and children here this morning. We pray and thank you, Lord, for your wonderful blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, buddy. Hallelujah. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, we baptized 7 people on Saturday. God has a purpose for you. You here, if you haven't given your life to Christ, or if you're backslidden from Christ, this is the time to come. Give your heart to Jesus. If you need other prayers besides that, then come and see us after the service so we can pray with you. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand up and sing a song before we take up our tithes and offerings. Hallelujah.
Let your glory fill this house. Let your praise.